Today's scripture is John 10, verses 11 through 18. You can follow along on the back page of your bulletin or up on the screen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. May peace and understanding be with us in our hearts as we listen to these words and the message God has for us this morning.
If you have been a part of Florence Christian Church for some time now, you know that after a period of prayerful discernment, I choose a theme word for each year, both for the church as well as for myself. The purpose of this practice is for helping to focus and reflect on how that word or phrase calls us in mission and in vision. And as most of you hopefully know by now, the congregational word for this year, anybody know it, want to say it? It's gather. That's right, it's gather. The COVID years of quarantine and isolation have had some major impact on the church worldwide. Ours is not anything that's an exception to that. As a people who God calls to assemble, we've had some of that quarantine that's been going on, and some people haven't found their way back into community. And so this year we are encouraging ourselves together, as Hebrews chapter 10 instructs us, to not neglect the assembling of ourselves, as is the habit of some, but instead encouraging one another to gather, to grow, and to serve as followers of Jesus. And we're going to continue to explore what that means and how we are being called in lots of different ways throughout the throughout this year to gather. We're going to look at it in a lot of different lenses. But I also want to begin today by sharing my personal word for 2024, which is actually two words: pay attention. It's my word. And why is that my word, you might be asking? Well, I'm going to tell you, paying attention has been a bit of a struggle for me ever since I was a little person. I don't know if I was ADD or anything like that, but I just had a hard time staying focused on the things I needed to stay focused on. Daydreaming when I should have been reading a book or writing a paper, maybe. Talking to a classmate when I should have been listening to the teacher. Watching TV at home when I probably should have been doing my chores and my homework before my parents got home from work. Pay attention. There are times when I'm just flittering around from one activity to the next without ever really thinking about it. I may be in the middle of sermon preparation. I get a little ding on my phone that a text has arrived. So what do? More often than not, I go for the phone. How about you? And while I'm acknowledging that, I have to say that one of my pet peeves these days is being in a meeting or going out to a restaurant with somebody only to have them put their phone right next to them, right next to their plate, and we're having a conversation and a text notification rings, and what do? They immediately pick it up to see who it is, and without so much as a please excuse me, they immediately start texting back. I might be right in the middle of saying something, But the message is crystal clear. What's on their phone is more important. To me, it's just annoying and incredibly rude. I'm not going to say an amen. Can I get an amen? But I'm just saying. Pay attention. I have a quote in my office wall by Keanu Reeves that says this: the simple act of paying attention can take you a long way. This morning we're going to be talking about the importance of to whom and what we pay attention as we consider what it means to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, we are overwhelmed with your love and grace and acceptance that's in this place every time we come here, and we thank you for this time and this sacred time of space and attention that you beckon us to. And so I pray today, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. All right, so in our text today from John chapter 10, Jesus says he is a good shepherd, a shepherd whose sheep know his voice. Now, as we hear those words about Jesus being the good shepherd, perhaps you remember the 23rd Psalm, attributed to King David, who, by the way, you may remember, before he became a king, what was he? He was a shepherd. That's right. And so it's no wonder that he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, who leads me to green pastures, who leads me beside still waters, who restores my soul and strengthens me even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." In our text, we see that John carries on this same theme as he is remembering that Jesus is the incarnation of God. Jesus has come God in flesh. And so here, as with so many of the other I am statements that we find in John's gospel, Jesus is presented as the loving shepherd who will give up his life for his sheep, keeping them from harm, even fighting the enemy to the very death to protect the sheep. So what does the good shepherd protect the sheep from? It's interesting to think about this because the Gospels don't spend a whole lot of time talking about Jesus defending his followers from the devil or even the political powers of Rome or even pagan religions. No, instead we find that Jesus, as the good shepherd, spent his time protecting his followers from their own religious leaders and traditions. Traditions and leaders that were inflicting spiritual wounds. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. And you know what that means, right? It means we are the sheep. Now, I can't speak for everybody, but I'm not necessarily enamored by being a sheep. Oh, they're kind of cute. But we don't necessarily think of sheep as particularly smart or free-spirited, do we? I mean, most of us don't think of ourselves as herd animals that follow someone blindly. No, we want to be more like beautiful stallions, free to roam, free to think for ourselves. Good disciples tradition. Unfortunately, many of us can be more like mules, stubborn and hard of hearing. But we don't know anything about that, do we? No. Sheep, on the other hand, are good at one thing. They are good at paying attention because they know how to listen. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." And friends, this can teach us a whole lot about our own spirituality. For if you and I can accept our identity, we just might be able to hear the voice of God. I read a story this week about a man from Australia charged with stealing a sheep from another man's field. The case made it to court. The judge decided to take the case. But you might wonder, how did it proceed? Well, the judge decided to interview the sheep. How did that happen? Well, the judge took the court proceedings on a little field trip. They went out to the pasture where the sheep were grazing, and then the judge ordered the plaintiff to call the sheep. And what happened? The sheep raised their heads, looked around, and then went back to eating their grass. Then the judge told the defendant to call the sheep. He called, and you know what happened? Immediately the sheep came running up to him. And the judge said, well, it's obvious who the true shepherd is. Case dismissed. Now, as much as I would want it to be that easy, we need to admit that it's not easy to hear God's voice. It's not easy to pay attention, especially when we have so much noise to deal with in our lives and in our world. But here's what you and I need to remember. If we really do want to follow Jesus, we have to quiet the noise long enough so that we can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. But how do we do that? How do we get ourselves away from the noise so that we can actually hear the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow the direction he calls us to take? Noise. It takes a lot of forms, doesn't it? It can be literal noise, like the volume that's up on the radio or the television or the electronic device blaring out all kinds of stuff that isn't really reflective of the life we say we want to live. Or it can be visual noise. Billboards and advertisements and possessions and clutter. But there are other kinds of noise that we deal with every day. And this noise isn't as apparent to the outside world of our lives as it is in our innermost being. It's the noise of the voices inside our head and our heart that tell us we're not good enough, that we're failures, that we're fake. It's the noise that stress places on our bodies and minds. It's the difficult emotions that kept us in a state of perpetual unrest and chaos as we question ourselves at every turn. How do we turn down this kind of noise? The noise that's inside our heads and our hearts so that we can more clearly hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I heard a podcast this week, Super Soul Sunday, one of the ones I listen to every week by Oprah Winfrey. She was interviewing Deepak Chopra, who was talking about the importance of taking a break when you and I are feeling stressed or having intense emotions. And I thought about what he shared, that it might be pretty valuable for us as we strive to turn down the noise and the stress and the strong emotions that they most often produce. It's an acronym, of course it is. You know I'm going to like an acronym now. It's an acronym called STOP. S, drum roll, not there, drum roll, but stands for stop. Stop, just stop. Pause. Quit entertaining or feeding the stress or the intense emotion and recognize it for what it is. It's just energy. Did you know that's what emotion means? According to neuroscience, emotion is defined as the experience of energy moving through the body. Emotion is just energy. And if we can acknowledge it as such, we can let it pass rather than holding on to it, feeding it, and letting it grow. So stop that by doing the next step. T stands for take 3 deep breaths. Now, I practiced it this week. I practiced this several times this week. Take 3 deep breaths. Let's take a breath together. Just breathe in through your nose. Hold it for a second and breathe out your mouth. Let's do it one more time. Breathing in. Breathing out. And the third time, breathe in. And breathe out. Did you pay attention to what happened as you do those 3 deep breaths? Did you feel your shoulders start to relax? Did you recognize that the gift of breath is actually the first gift that God gives any of us? And as you recognize that as you breathe, that you're in the presence of God, and the presence of agape love and grace and acceptance are surrounding you. The very presence of the Good Shepherd is right there in the midst to protect you from harm and to guide you to life. All right, next. O stands for observe. Observe what's going on in your body. My spiritual director tells me to do that all the time. Pay attention. Observe what's going on in your body. Pay attention to where you are and what you are feeling. Do not judge it as wrong or right, but good or bad. Just observe it and offer it to God. Observe it and offer it to God. Which takes us to the last letter of stop, and that is to proceed. Proceed with compassion and kindness for yourself and for others. And know that God is with you as you do. So stop. Stop. Take 3 deep breaths. Observe. And then proceed. As I said, I did that many times this week, and it really did help. And while it might sound like a really quick hack for us, in some ways it is, the scriptures support doing this, makes it really clear about the importance of paying attention, of being present in the now with God. And I want to share a few passages of scripture with you that support that. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses and the priest said to all of Israel, "Be silent, O Israel, and what? Listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God." If you are the people of God, listen. Habakkuk 2:20. "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Luke chapter 5, verse 16 tells us, along with many other passages in the Gospels, that Jesus withdrew to the lonely places and prayed. He separated himself from a whole group of people to be quiet before God. Isaiah 30:15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." And finally, one that I hope all of us have memorized, Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." All of these scriptures speak to the importance of taking those moments of silence and solitude. Why? So that you and I can hear the voice of God. Some of you may know the name Rob Bell. One of our classes is actually looking at several of his videos over the last year. Called Numa. And I remembered as I was working on this sermon, one that I saw called Noise, and I wanted to look it up. So I found it, and I found this picture that I wanted to share with you. This is where it takes place as he's talking about noise. And he actually has a remote control in his hand, which he's flipping around from program to program. He's just surfing on the TV, and you hear all of this noise going on. And TV's blasting away as he's considering the influence that noise has in our lives and how much the volume of noise that can take over our lives and leave us exhausted, stressed, depressed, fearful, and purposeless. So, even when I go home and I turn the TV on just to not do anything, that's coming in, constantly coming in. Then he turns the volume down a bit as he begins to tell the story of Elijah. You remember this story, right? Where fear has taken over his life. Jezebel said, "We're going to kill you." And God tells him to go to the mountain and wait for God to speak. And so he does. And while he's waiting, An incredibly strong wind blows, but we were told God's not in the wind. And then an earthquake happens. It actually shakes the mountain, but God is not in the earthquake. And then Rob takes the remote and he clicks it, and everything goes black. No sound, just a black screen for what seems like an eternity. And then the following questions appear on the black screen. When was the last time you were in a solitary place? What is it about silence that is so difficult? Why is it easier to surround myself with noise and keep moving than to stop, be silent, and listen? How much noise do I subject myself to? Does my schedule, my time, my life look like that of a person who really wants to hear God's voice? Maybe the healing and guidance we desperately need is not going to come from one more meeting or therapy session or sermon or a self-help book, but from simply listening to the voice of God. Do you really believe that God's voice is more interesting than the voices around you? Is it possible that you've been searching for God in the winds and the earthquakes and the fires, when God is actually waiting to speak to you in the silence? Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." He is the one who is here, who leads us to the paths of life, no matter what. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, who leads you to green pastures and still waters, who restores you. And when you go through the darkest of valleys, he is there too." And when we hear that voice, do we listen and follow? Because the Good Shepherd is faithful to lead you and me into the fullness of God. Are you paying attention?